Welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church. We're going to get started a minute earlier because the Bronco kickoff is at 11. Not that that'll make any difference. Glad to see you all here. And, the second half is the most important part anyway, isn't it? And let's open our service with a word of prayer.
Bruce stole my thunder. I was just going to say, we're just going to say, Dear Lord, thank you for the Broncos and amen. But I guess we'd better open with something a little bit more appropriate. So let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we come here this morning and we know that we are sinners. We know we don't always do the right thing. But we come here so that we can recharge and learn more about the way you would have us live. We ask special blessings on all those who are hurting this morning, those on our prayer list. And please be with Bruce this morning as he brings us this message. Be with Sue as she provides the music today for us, and with Phil as he also provides music. We ask all these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Sue. We're experimenting with the piano. We can't make the same sounds that Tom does, but I like that one, so I hope everybody else does. I'd like to open with this thought for this morning, or this story. A young lady was confidently walking around the room, leading and explaining stress management to an audience, and in her hand she held a glass of water. Now, everybody knew that she was going to ask the question, half full, half empty. But she fooled them. How heavy is this glass of water, she inquired with a smile. And so people answered, and they said 8 ounces, 20 ounces, all kinds of answers. But she replied, the absolute weight doesn't matter. It depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, that's really not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'll have an ache in my right arm. If I hold it for a day, you'll have to call an ambulance. In each case, it's the same weight, but the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. And that's the same way it is with stress. If we carry our burdens all the time, sooner or later, the burdens become increasingly heavy, and we won't be able to carry on. So as with this glass of water, you have to put it down for a while and rest before holding it again. And when you're refreshed, you can carry on. So early in the evening, you can put all your burdens down. And isn't it great that we have someone to talk to who will help us carry our burdens? Let's stand up and thank that God as we sing, To God Be the Glory.
He gave us his Son. Bow our head in prayer for our congregational prayer. Dear Lord, fill us with your spirit this morning. Move across our country and into our congregation, enlivening us, moving us, stirring us. Thank you for our congregation, for every person. Thank you for the varieties of experience. Thank you that we don't always get along. Thank you for the challenges you give us to live as your church, giving us exercise in breaking down dividing walls, exercises in forgiveness and tolerance, learning to love each other truly, your spirit moving us in loving directions. Today we pray for those among us and in our community who feel storm-tossed, who feel they have lost a solid foundation, unsettled because of family arguments, shaky because of financial insecurities, rattled because of depression or a crisis of faith. Help us to be people who can reach out in a hand of solidarity, a steadying hand that points to you. Give us the courage to speak loving words to each other. And finally, today we pray for our friends, those who face challenges because of physical limitations, mobility issues, or changes in lifestyle that aging brings. Help us to comfort and support, to listen and learn from the wisdom of those who have walked with you for many years. Be with us this week with your freshening spirit, the breath of life for all the world. Amen.
Good morning. I apologize for my sniffles. They're not part of the scripture this morning. They were actually a friend from my good friend Dolores back there. Today's scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God.
Now let's give back to God a little of what he's given to us. So if you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.
Be seated.
How blessed we are to be able to give back to the work of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Phil. He was playing before the service, and several of us really said that sounded great before the service. And he said, "Shall we make this a weekly event?" I said, "Well, we have to pay you then." It's all about money, right? Well, our text this morning, beginning in chapter 8 and then chapter 9, deals with the longest section in the whole Bible on giving. You know, those little envelopes that are in the bulletins that fall out on the floor and have a funny word on them by the name of tither, whatever that means. That's the longest section in the whole New Testament. Well, the Apostle Paul was trying to help people in Jerusalem, and everywhere he went, he took up money to help them. And you know, in those days, travel was really expensive. You think travel is expensive today, but taking a ship for months at a time was really, really expensive. Well, he appealed to the churches in northern Greece, which is called Macedonia. And they responded in magnificent fashion, as Gail read so nicely this morning. He used the generosity of the Macedonians for the Corinthians to follow. It would be like somebody saying, "Well, you people in Denver and Aurora, look at what they've done in St. Louis." That's what is happening in those two chapters. Well, there are 10 giving examples that we're going to talk about this morning. The giving is an act of grace. Giving is an act of grace. The grace that the Macedonians had to give was so right from the heart. They received grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave grace. Freely they received, and freely they give. Grace stands at the bottom of all that we have as Christians. We love him because he loved us first. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," John 3:16. God makes the first move. We are the receivers, and always, even if we give it, it's only because we have first received from God. Let's turn around the other way. If God hasn't done anything for you in your life, why give, right? You don't have any reason to give. You have no reason to give. But if you have met the Lord and he has lifted you up in faith, then you have a reason to give. We give because he first gave to us. Well, now, giving, secondly, is not related to income. It really isn't. Paul writes to the Macedonians in verse 2, "Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." In this verse, Paul brings together four things that we wouldn't have normally joined together: trials and poverty, joy and generosity. Well, put that together. It goes from trials and joy and poverty equals rich generosity. Does it really? It just doesn't compute. It's the idea of opening your money bag and say, "I don't have much left, but here it is. Take it all." Yet these people, the Macedonians, were dirt poor. They had all kinds of trials. And they said, we better give before the rest of the money is gone. We're going broke. Well, how is that possible? They understood that giving has nothing to do with how much money you have. It doesn't have to do with how much money you have in the bank, or whether or not you have a job, or whether you're retired or not, or how your stock portfolio is doing. You know, the last couple of months has been really up and down. It doesn't matter how many bills you have stacked up at home. It has to do with a heart set free from the love of money and to the love of God. In other words, it's not a burden. They had overflowing joy. Well, there was one time a wealthy man was sitting in the congregation, and the usher came by with a little basket, and he said, "I think I could give $50 and not feel it," he said to the usher. The usher said, "Why don't you give $100 and then feel it?" Good point. If you feel it, that's so important. Giving that touches no feelings of the heart doesn't do anything for us at all. Giving that touches you is so important. I suggest, based upon this passage, that we should give until we are laughing with joy. That's how the Macedonians did it, even though they had very little. They gave hilariously. Well, giving is not necessarily, number three, related to positive circumstances. Paul speaks about severe trials that came to the Macedonians, or waves of persecution that they had, bad circumstances, going through hard times. And many of our people throughout the years, especially in 2008, 2009, went through very difficult times with the crash of the stock market. That happened many years ago. And many of us are trained to think, well, what are we going to do with this extra money that we have? Maybe we'll give some of it to the church. Or maybe we'll give it to God. But that's not the way the Macedonians looked at it. They were so poor. They were so poor. They gave it from their lack. It's an entirely different way of looking at life. Whenever the heart is free, number four, there's no limit on how much we give. That's why Paul means when he says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability." They were desperately poor, and they gave. When the heart is free, we look for opportunities to give any more. You know, I've been a pastor for many years on two different times, and nobody ever said to me, "Let's take a second offering this morning. Let's pass the plate again." But that, when the heart is free, we look for opportunities to give many more. You know, Jerry Falwell, when he died, he said he's going to put on his tombstone, because he asked for money so much on TV, "And the beggar died." That was on his tombstone, "And the beggar died," because he was always asking for money for one reason or another. Well, when the heart is free, it's you give freely. That's so important. The sixth point, if we give grudgingly, the problem is probably not the lack of money. It seems like a logical corollary, a lack of money is hardly ever the major problem. Sure, I'd love to have $10 million to give away, or in the case of Bill Gates, who has given away billions. That's so wonderful to be able to give that. But the real problem is that we are wedded to the world, or maybe we are welded to the world in what we do. In fact, we have a class we're going to, the Cal class on current events, and we always say it's all about money. It's everything is about money in this world. But in our life as Christians, it's not about money. It's about the heart. You know, you can't outgive God. You can't hold on money too tightly. The American Christians, and we have so much to give to this world. There's a Baptist church in Pignon, Haiti. It's a town of 35,000 people. They have six cars there. No street lights, no paved streets. Unemployment is 80%. Per capita income is $200 a year. No electricity, no sewage system. But every Sunday, 1,000 people come to church. And they have so little, but they have supported a Christian high school, widows' homes, an orphanage, and food for the poor. They meet at 4 a.m. every morning to pray. I'm not saying this to praise poverty, because the people in Pignon, Haiti, are trying to do all they can to raise their circumstances of life. You know, Jesus said it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Of course, that was an analogy, but it is very difficult when we have so much. Number seven, once we yield ourselves to the Lord, then we find the joy that we seek. Their severe trial of the Macedonians could not take away their joy, and their poverty was no barrier to their generosity. They were free. They were free because they had overflowing joy in all that they did, in their giving, in their service, in their worship, and in their prayers. They were so, no trials could stop them from being generous. You know, you would be surprised if we published a list of givers in our church. I promise I will not publish that list. You would be amazed at some of the people that you think should give and don't, and those that do that give beyond their means. It's amazing. Well, this is the theme that Paul develops in 2 Corinthians when he says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, that's a way of saying, Lord, we love you so much that we want to give it to support those things that matter the most to you. And what do we support the most? What does God love the most? The poor. And that's what we do so much. We support the poor. And number 8, once we have joy, giving will be a blessing, not a burden. Once we turn our life over to the Lord, giving becomes just a normal part of who we are. It's in your heart. We will never be free until we totally turn our life over to the Lord. And number 9, once our burden is gone, our burden of being so self-sufficient, we will surprise others by how we are free to give. Listen to how Paul puts it in verse 5. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then in keeping with God's will. Paul expected them to give a certain amount, but they came back to Paul and said, no, we want to give more. We don't have much, but we want to give more. They blew the roof right off his predictions, his projections. Wouldn't that be nice? Free grace gives the free giving. And number 10, we cannot give freely until our hearts are freely given to the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord. First, there are burdened believers who are weighed down by materialism and the love of money, and that's number 1 in their life. That's not the way the Christian life is. Giving for them is a chore, you know. Oh, is there a few bucks here we can give? That'll be okay. Once we open our clenched fists and say, give to me and I'll give back to you. Once the burdens are lifted, we are free from the Lord. We are free over joy in our hearts. Rich generosity. We are burdened when we start. We are yielded. We are free. We have joy. We have blessings. We become eager. We become generous. We become, as Paul said, hilarious. Some people are still stuck on the left side, the burden side. The sermon is not about money. It's about your heart, where your heart is, and that's so important. Rich generosity. It's the cherry on top of a banana split, the topping. It's so great. Only a truly converted person can do this. Money cannot buy entrance into heaven. There's no ticket that you can buy. You can't buy a big ticket and get into heaven. There's a Scotsman called Robert Murray McChaney who said, I fear there are many hearing me who now know well that they are not Christians because they don't love to give. To give largely and liberally, not grudging at all, requires a new heart. An old heart would rather part with its lifeblood than its money. Oh, my friends, you better enjoy your money and make the most of it. Give none away. Enjoy it quickly because you'll be beggars throughout eternity. We are here to do a job on earth. It's a time for joy. I'd like you to see what you can do in terms of helping our church grow. My wife and I have talked and prayed about our commitment. And long ago, we decided the first 10% that we get is not ours. First 10% of our gross income is not ours. It's for the Church of Jesus Christ on earth. It's not for God. God doesn't need our money. You know, God has plenty of money. He's got enough to live forever and ever. Hallelujah, that's for sure. We give generously because of the joy that gives from the freedom that we have. We love this church, and I know that you love this church. For over 9 years we have been together. That's right, we were incorporated on October 5th, 2006. 9 years. We have walked together, worked together, prayed together, laughed together, and cried together. We laugh together, especially during the announcements, don't we? You know, through good times and bad times. I look out and see the people in this congregation. I see good times and bad times in almost every one of you. It's amazing. We are here because we believe in prayer and the prospect of true conversion and the real life-changing power of Christ. That's the most important thing. I don't care anything about anything else except if we can change one person to gain their life through Christ, that's the most important thing. On the literal horizon, not more than a half away, is going to be built over 1,000 homes. This is a fertile area, an area that is going to be wide open to our church. We are the closest church to that new development and inspiration. Our plans are being formulated to reach out to reach these new people as they move in. This is going to be active adults, and they're going to be regular housing as well. Would you join us in this venture? Many have and many can. We need the resources to make an impact on the new community, and we've got to start planning now because the model homes are going to be open before the end of the year. That's going to be, and the sales are going to happen very quickly. But if you're going to support this ministry, it must be joined not with a grumpy face. If you're going to come to this with a grumpy face, just put your wallet away. We want joyful, hilarious giving. We want the joy of knowing that more people are going to heaven because of what you've done in your life and by your example, by your living, by your joy. This is not a command at all. I'm not a commander. Hopefully, I'm giving an invitation to joy. This is an invitation to joy. An opportunity to trust God in such a way that we can be generous, hilarious in our giving. And to demonstrate to the watching world, look at this group of little Christians, these old guys. Look what they can do. And people have said this already. Look what they have done in this community and in the inner city. Look what they can do. No stereotypes. Would you join me to reach out to the world in the years and months to come? Amen. Let us confess our faith to the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand.
We are going to invite you now to come and share the Lord as we take communion. Let's stand and sing, "Come Share the Lord." Oh, that's okay. I don't know that one, but we'll sing it.
Drink the wine, come eat the bread, come share the Lord. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, met with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover feast, and he gave them the bread and said, broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body which is given for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me. Then after they finished eating, he took the cup and said, blessed it and said, this cup is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. Let us pray now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
of my favorite hymns. I come to the garden. All right, it's time for us to say goodbye just for today. So stand and we'll sing in the sweet by and by.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.